Hello and welcome to the 71st Planet Destiny podcast, where we actually have stuff to talk about.
Yeah. A lot.
And it all happened in the last 2 hours.
It was this apparently leaked image of Lord Saladin with an axe and possibly the new Destiny expansion.
And wolves!
Or thing.
Wolves.
Yeah.
It's a Call of Duty Ghosts all over again.
It's basically House of Wolves 2.0, because there's like this picture a bunch of wolves on it. And today is the exact 1 year anniversary of House of Wolves being released.
Game of Thrones is going to connect to Half-Life 3 and make an Uber child in Destiny.
Lord Saladin is King of the Wall.
Yes!
The King of the North. The King of the North. I suppose one of the minor things that happened this week in Destiny. Have you guys seen the... not the ride-along, but the... The ammo glitch that surfaced on Tuesday.
It's pretty bad.
I'm sad.
I'm not going to explain how to do the glitch, because sure if you really want to know how to do it, you can Google it and figure it out from there.
There's a lot of people that are more than willing to show you.
Yeah.
So this is connected to something that we're obviously going to talk about as well. That Bungie talked about. Certain events getting canceled. Have you guys ran into the glitch in PvP?
I specifically have been avoiding PvP.
I haven't even had though it used against me.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
I played, I think, like 15 matches or something like that last night in regular control and Rift. Mm-hmm. I don't think I saw it.
I don't think you did.
I don't think, because, you know, like, sometimes I just get salty and everything turns to red, and I, like, don't know who I'm shooting.
Sounds like a normal experience.
Like, you know, just feeling anger over skill-based matchmaking. But it seems that it's going to catch, like, wildfire, and Bungie's aware of it. I think CC Kuhn came in my chat last night and was talking about somebody had, like, 70 rounds of Gallahorn.
Yeah, that...
In the magazine.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. No,
it's like,
that's
what?
In the magazine?
I think, yeah.
It's like the biggest day for most Destiny Twitch streamers.
I was actually looking forward to streaming it this weekend, but okay.
Yeah, and it's what always brings people back to Destiny, too. Like, say if there's a Destiny streamer or Destiny players and they're playing other games, Trials is the one thing that they come back and they're like, it's Trials of Osiris time, I want to play Trials. So for that to be canceled is a pretty big deal. I'd prefer it if they kind of just, like, let it fly and anyone caught using it just was banned from Trials that weekend. I'll deal with it.
Can you imagine, though, how annoying it would be? Like, if you're on your ninth win and all of a sudden, like, the opposing team is just rockets for days.
Here's the thing. It's an easy mode for anybody that's never been to the Lighthouse also, and they're like, hey, we could just do this heavy ammo glitch. And... you know, it's not, you're not hacking the system. You're not actually changing memory bits or anything like that. It's technically in the game right now. You know, so they can't ban people for that either.
It is a bummer that Trials got canceled for the weekend, though. Hopefully they get the glitch fixed, too, so it's not an ongoing thing.
Yeah. Apparently, I don't know.
Didn't they ban Iron Banner also?
They can ban Iron Banner. They
banned it. No more Iron Banner.
Lord, you're banned.
Sorry. Ban is all over my brain right now. They canceled Iron Banner.
We know about the spaghetti code in Destiny where everything seems to touch something else in six different places. So fixing this bug could be harder than just fixing this bug.
Remove rocket launchers from the game. Just remove them.
Well, yeah, there's like several steps. Like, okay.
Don't take my Gallahorn.
Hey, it just means we get to go do Prison of Elders even more, right? Challenge of Elders.
Let's do it.
Where you can probably use the rocket glitch to have a lot of fun.
Did you guys run Prison of Elders yet this week?
No.
Challenge of Elders?
No.
It was harder this week.
The modifiers did not look like they were as, what's the word I'm looking at? Helpful as they normally are? No.
I think I died more in Challenge of Elders this week than I have in like all the weeks up to this combined.
I'm really glad because I had the exact same experience. It's you get precision bonus. Mm-hmm. I believe it's fresh troops. It's fresh troops, and then your shield recharge, right?
I don't remember what the third one is. It was a juggler.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it was juggler. Yeah. It feels like the enemies are higher level and do more damage. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, I just felt like I was dying frequently.
That's part of the bug.
First room you walk into, there's a ton of witches. There's a ton of hive witches, and they just like bombard you.
They just melt you.
Yeah, and then, it just felt like, especially in that first room, it just felt harder. Not hard, but harder.
It didn't feel like the last few weeks. It felt like, what the hell? This is not easy.
Like, actually, got to put your pants on. Get ready to go.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it because I jumped in there on the Xbox and I was like, what is going on?
Do you guys usually, when I play Challenge of Elders, I'm half looking at chat and half looking at the screen, but I found I really had to try and stay alive.
Yeah. Also, the Cabal room. Just take it out. Nobody likes it.
Nobody likes that shit. Fucking scions.
Get out of here.
All right, can we talk about this image? Because I am hyped about this thing.
All right. We're going to spend a lot of time here. Let's just do it.
We'll just dive right into it. I could have dabbled about Prison of Elders.
Boom. Yeah. So, there it is.
So Briar, you specifically want to talk about this one?
Yeah, so this is a leaked image. We have no idea if it's real or not. We don't know anything about this, right? It just got leaked on Reddit, and you said you also saw it on the Bungie forums, right?
This is so hot, it might not have been cooked all the way. And we might get salmonella from it not being cooked all the way through.
Now, there's a bunch of cool stuff on this image. One is Rise of Iron. And he looks like he is either guarding or has come through a break in the wall. The wall for the last city that protects the last
city. Twilight Gap, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. It looks very snowy.
Yeah. Cold. He's got that cape.
Never had
the coat,
snow before.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just the wolves are so... I mean,
there's also wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, first question. So Twilight Gap. So somewhere on Earth, obviously, right? Because mm-hmm. there's wolves.
This looks like it takes place at the wall. You can see some of the Russian on just to the left of his axe. You can see a little bit of the... what looks like the Russian...
Oh, yeah. So this is probably the Cosmodrome, not the wall for the last city.
Yeah.
All right, we're looking at Earth. We're talking about Lord Saladin. Lord Saladin is a really cool character that, you know, the Iron Banner comes around, you get to hear him kind of grumble a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, Guardian, are you the champion? Blah, 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 you know?
I like when he goes off, though. When he goes on, like, a big kill streak, and he's just mouthing off. He gets so excited. He's like a 10-year-old kid all of a sudden.
But both Shax and him do that. It's awesome.
Yeah, so we're obviously hoping that we get to expand on that story right there. Like, he's going to lead some sort of thing that we're going to be a part of with, you know, it looks like it's going to be on Earth. A lot of people are thinking, you know, is a Cabal raid coming next?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this poster leads anything towards that at all?
No, I mean, it doesn't have any indication of the Cabal at all. You see, we see the Cosmodrome, we see Lord Saladin, we see some wolves. The Rise of Iron thing does indicate to me a little bit of Cabal, just because, you know, I equate them personally with, like, mechanized, you know, instruments of war. So I could see that a little bit, but the fact that Rise of Iron and Lord Saladin are in the same picture, it makes me think of Iron Banner, you know, very distinctly. Like, it's a 1-to-1 ratio.
Right, the story of the Iron Banner and the Iron Lords and really delving into that and seeing their story. And the fact that we're seeing Lord Saladin, like, on this poster is, like, are we going to get to experience him within his story? Which is, that would be so exciting for me. Because Iron Banner is something that we've experienced since the beta. We've had Iron Banner around. But actually, in-game, in terms of the story and what's behind it, we don't really know anything. We just have their weapons, and we have Iron Banner that comes around every month that we play. So to actually know their story would be so exciting, and to actually see Lord Saladin in the battlefield, not just standing there giving us bounties, that would be amazing.
I mean, he goes away for 3 to 4 weeks at a time. What is he doing? Is he eating bonbons?
What is he doing?
No, he's hacking his way through a goddamn wall with a flaming axe.
That's right. He's a badass.
It looks like he cleaved this giant section out of the wall with the axe from the other side. I mean, that the wall is currently on fire in parts. He has a flaming axe, and I'm going to think that he did that.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
And if this is a huge indication of a PvP, huge expansion to PvP, we'd be talking new game modes? we could even be expecting, like, the faction stuff we've talked about. If it's an expansion that is heavily focused on PvP, which is kind of what Rise of Iron indicates.
What if they changed the Iron Banner into rank playlists?
That would be awesome. Beautiful. And you get a pet wolf for being, like, Diamond.
Yes. Oh my God. Riley's back.
Riley.
Yeah. The fact that there is a flaming axe, I find to be very, very interesting. Because that can go into multiple things. It could be a weapon. It could be maybe a weapon in the world that you get to pick up and run around with. Mm-hmm. It could be a further subclass of hammer titans. Like, you decide to be a solar titan. Do you want hammers or do you want an axe? So, and if that's the case, then you'd be looking at different things for all subclasses, not just Solar Titan. So that's super exciting to me, too, that maybe we'd be getting, in this expansion, a change to subclasses. At least a change, if not adding more stuff to them.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting.
I've been wondering also, is this a indication of the next expansion, right? Is this going to be kind of the story background for the next expansion? Is this maybe something about the next live team event? Is the next live team event, instead of being, you know, like a SRL or something like that, are they going to expand upon the Iron Banner at some point during the summer? That would be really exciting to kind of hold us over until the expansion in September.
That was actually what I was thinking too, because this is the obvious question is this the fall expansion? Are we looking at Rise of Iron as the new Taken King? And if we are, one side of me says, oh, this looks a little pigeonholed for the kind of scope that I want. But the other side is, this could be really awesome if they make the Twilight Gap experience, or, you know, whatever Earth kind of raid. We've never had an Earth raid before. It could be really exciting. But Briar, you're absolutely right. A live team patch could come in and be like, here's a new Iron Banner experience that we've been working on, and we're going to announce it at E3.
I mean, that's not unprecedented. We saw Sparrow Racing League from
the PlayStation experience. I've been thinking that we were going to hear about the next expansion at, you know, at E3, but it could be that they
could just be part
they
of
focus on this, you know, next live event, and then hold on to, because I know a lot of people have a disagreeing opinion on this, but I felt like that they showed the Taken King too early last year, right? Whereas they were drip feeding us information all throughout the summer last year, to the point where a lot of the Taken King we knew about before we even got the game. So if they were to do something like this, where this is a live event, and it gets us excited to play Destiny, right? Maybe it comes out August or something, or June or whenever. And then after that, they start drip feeding us information about the next expansion. It would just be, I think it would be a better media cycle for them, because people wouldn't get sick of hearing about the Taken King, and kind of they wouldn't lose that audience. And it would give us something to do over the summer, which they sorely need. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. This is all speculation, obviously.
It's that, you know, guerrilla marketing, man. Guerrilla marketing. It's like they make us think that they leaked it.
I wonder if Deej took the picture.
Deej is there on Snapchat.
Yeah, he's like, this is perfect.
Somebody look at the metadata.
This is like the Rezal Azir thing that got posted a while back to Reddit. If you, I'm not sure if you guys paid attention to that at all, but basically, like, this, the second that the April update went out, or not the second, it was like 18 minutes after it went out, someone posted a thread to Reddit saying, hey, here's the location of this ghost. I think his name was like Rezal Azir.
Yeah. And then, who was referenced, like, in the ghost.
Yeah, which is referenced in the ghost that you find. And then someone said, wait, how could you find this? Most of us are still downloading the patch. What's up? And the post got deleted.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in this thread showing this image, that post got deleted, and the username deleted as well. So, is
Deej?
I don't know. It's an exciting image, man. I love the cut in the wall. Like, it to me. Yes. What is that? Is that somebody's attacking the wall? Lord Saladin is on guard.
No, that's Lord Saladin himself. He's just like practicing.
Yeah, he just took that axe. He's like, we're done with this wall.
That's his
new
super.
PvP mode.
That's his super.
That's his super.
Chop down walls.
He literally destroys buildings with his super.
That cape also is completely fantastic in every conceivable way, and I hope that's an item that I can get for my Titan. Usually the class item for Titans is that kind of toilet paper thing, but a bearskin cape, way better.
Your kitchen towel on the side of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little bath towel.
Sometimes they glow, sometimes they don't, whatever.
A lot about this image has me excited. The fact that it's on Earth, which would be, if we are being on Earth, that will be an Earth raid, which we haven't had. The fact that there's snow and it's wintry looking, we've never experienced that.
We all know that Bungie employees are just Game of Thrones fans and they're excited.
They're winter, just right? like,
that winter Game of is Thrones. Coming.
Dude,
winter's honestly, coming.
You look at this. Dark Souls and Game of Thrones in that poster right there.
Yeah. If it is a raid on Earth, then obviously it's going to happen at the Cosmodrome, which I would have rather had a brand new patrol area if we're getting a raid on Earth. Or if this is an expansion, I'd much rather see it happen in a brand new
European Dead Zone.
Well, if that wall looks like it's the Cosmodrome.
It could be European, still have Russian text on it. I mean, we see Chinese and Japanese, or we see Japanese text like all over the game as well.
Yeah. And also, it could be the beginning of the thing that causes the thing that leads to the end of the story. You know, so this might be the onset.
This is the equivalent of in World of Warcraft, when they wanted to set up like a newer story coming down the road, they would. They had like a specific faction in the game that would basically allow them to do prequels without like messing with things. They had a specific faction of dragons that were the keepers of time, and you could like go back and say, hey, the timelines are becoming muddled. Someone's trying to mess with them, and you go back and you experience the event and make sure that it goes according to plan.
Okay, let me pitch this to you guys.
Okay.
The story has opened up to the fact that the Cabal kind of hate us.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. We did kill a lot of people.
Where do we preside after we've done our bidding? The tower, right? So the Cabal is attacking the tower, and that's the Cabal raid going through all this. You know, the stuff is happening.
The defense of the tower is
defense
the raid?
Defense of the tower type of raid.
I would kind of love that.
You know, that would be
amazing.
The
fact that like your home is being turned into this place of war,
and it'd flip like the idea of a raid completely on its side, because you're not going in raiding. Somebody's raiding you. You're the defenders.
So the Lords of Iron. There's multiple lords.
Yeah,
I don't know the lore behind this.
The weapons from year one were all named after the Lords of Iron, and the weapons from year two are named after. I can't remember what they're called, but they're like the successors to the Lords of Iron.
That just sounds so cool that we get to, you know, get into cahoots or whatever with the Lords of Iron.
Yeah, I want that story. Speaking about PvE, I know it's like, of course, it's a PvP-focused update. That's what you think as soon as you see Rise of the Iron. But if we're being able to explore the stories of these Iron Lords, that's going to be in a PvE kind of context.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I would be so down to just explore the stories of these lords.
Ryan's in chat. He says that Kotaku put up an article that says the Rise of Iron expansion will feature a new raid, likely Fallen themed, and will be larger than both year one DLC packs, according to a source.
Let's see what the source is. It's Jason Schreier doing the. He's been the guy to. Talk about the three out of three, so
there it is. Rise of Iron will be an expansion. It's the name of the expansion.
It's
going to have
PvE
a Fallen
also.
Themed raid. I was not expecting a Fallen themed raid.
There you go.
No, it says likely Fallen themed.
Likely.
Mm-hmm. I think the Fallen are one of the most interesting races because they used to be like us. The Traveler used to have the Light of the Traveler, and they lost that, and they want it back. And I find that to be hugely interesting. And they've attacked the city before. And maybe they're planning on doing it again.
I think seeing like the most powerful Fallen leader would be extremely exciting. Because Fallen are always with their teleporting.
There's the fabled Kell of Kells that we're supposed to know about, but we don't know who that is.
Well, he was a traitor to the Fallen.
Oh, well.
Wasn't he?
There is no Kell of Kells yet. Don't you listen to Varix at all?
Was trying to become the Kel of Kells.
He thought he was the Kel of Kells, right, but he was not the Kel of Kells.
That's the thing with the Fallen, right? Like, they have so many different factions, and each of them think they're really powerful.
Yeah,
so it would be nice to see, like, the most powerful
so there
Fallen.
Is, yeah, we need...
Well, maybe that's what it'll be. No, maybe we do get a Kel of Kells to, you know, bring the Fallen together, and they come and attack... Attack but the city.
They're definitely not going to do that this early. In the 10-year scope, they're not going to give us the most powerful Fallen in year three. They're not going to do that. They're going to give us the most powerful Fallen on Earth in year three.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm sure the Fallen are chilling out somewhere else, you know, doing whatever to different planetary systems.
We should just get Bife on the podcast because we've been meaning to get him onto the podcast at some point, and I'm sure once he finishes... his degree and school and stuff, he'll gladly get on over here, and we can just have
his
we can have a podcast completely devoted to answering our questions about lore because we
that sounds great.
What
happened with
the House of Kings are the most powerful on Earth.
Okay,
and we haven't seen the Kel of the House of Kings.
It's the House of Kings, so there's more than one Kel, and then they combine together to make like a super Kel Voltron. Yeah,
wouldn't it be cool? Because you know they can teleport. Fallen can teleport. If they could maybe teleport you places, so as you're fighting, you're just being teleported to various different things. And there's just so much to them. There's so much to them, and also I love the way they look.
I do too.
I love the way they look. I am so down to get better looking Fallen armor than Prison of Elders stuff.
Mm.
Yeah.
Although I'll keep my airplane helmet for my Titan. Thank you.
Me too.
I call it the bunny ears. Let's go. I call it the bunny ears. So
are we?
It's pretty fitting.
I think we're kind of done talking about this.
So to summarize, for sure, Rise of Iron this fall, and there's going to be a raid. So new PvE, something to do with Lord Saladin. Life's looking good, guys. It's looking good.
Yeah. Things we'll probably hear more about it at E3, too. More confirmed details at E3.
Yeah.
So down. And I'm sorry, Briar, but you're not going to have anything during the summer. Rip.
Got Overwatch.
That's right. Overwatch, baby.
Before we transit to the next topic, thank you very much to Goth for raiding us. Welcome, all raiders.
Thank you.
Yo, Goth, dropping the raid.
Yeah, dropping the raid on us, and we're going to continue our conversations. We don't want to take too much out of the normally scheduled raiders. Programming here, but thank you all for joining. Okay, so the ride-along was also this weekend. And, Watts, you were talking when we were discussing that leak about the... about how like the Fallen you really liked their race. I personally really like the Hive, at least as far as their lore goes. I'm kind of tired of the Hive because we've seen them so much, but it was really cool listening to I can't remember her name, the person that was talking
was
about
it. Jill?
I think it might have been
Jill.
She was talking about how the Hive have a hierarchy during this, and how, you know, basically you know, it's completely cool to want to overthrow your leader. They're like, hell yeah, go, yeah, do it. No, that's cool. That's cool.
The strongest should be
at the
top,
strongest
right?
should be so, at the top. So they want you. They want you to go challenge your leader. And there's a lot of medieval. They were talking about how knights and like actual knights would have their shield outside their tent, and you could go bang on it to challenge them. And it was
just like working
thing.
At a TGI Fridays. It's a fucking bloodbath.
Where's that bling? You showing that hype?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever it is.
Got 15 pieces of flair?
Flair, that's what it is, yeah.
You know, basically, they designed the raid designers designed the encounters, they designed the raid, and then later on, the writing team comes in and goes, okay, how can we make this work in the lore? What works? Okay, the Hive do this. Okay, yeah. And then they can go in there and, you know, make it all seem... Or you would think, well, how are they incorporating, you know, lore into this? Well, it's done through very small things, like the names of the auras that we were talking about. Apparently, the aura in the totems fight, or in the entrance to the war priest, they were talking about how originally it was just called like Aura Dark. Like, that was just the name of it. And then they came in as called the Death Singers, Death Singers Aura or whatever. So then that relates it later on to the Death Singers fight and how the mechanics would also transfer over there as well. I don't know. For someone who is also designing a raid just for the hell of it, it was really cool to see the different design elements that worked through every single fight as well. And also,
that's cool.
Cosmo is no longer working at Bungie.
Yep. He died.
Cosmo's dead.
He died, I think it was like four times in the raid. It was three or four times.
Yep.
Man.
It was a good run. I mean...
Dude, he he had a good run as community manager. Yeah, that was pretty good, man.
But even just like when it was the War Priest deems you worthy, that's a nod to the fact that Oryx is constantly being challenged by people. So that was very interesting to learn more about the Hive and learn more about the War Priest and all of that stuff.
Did they talk about the hammering and the clapping?
How hammering?
He claps or he hammers the Oryx, hammers the posts. Isn't that...
That was them literally... I think that was them literally just going... Wouldn't it be fucking sweet if Oryx just decided to try to swat you down? Like, wouldn't that be awesome? I think that was literally just a design element that worked out in their favor for that.
I've
heard people talk about, though, that it's a religious thing. Hammering and clapping and submission to your religion. So he's... the idea is that he's making you submit to him or to him taking you. Instead of just killing you immediately, because apparently you can just clap and kill you immediately. But I don't know if they talked about that or if that's even something that's real that they thought about.
The only thing that I heard them talk about was that they didn't want him to just be on the edge. And it's just this thing that you fight on the edge. They actually wanted him to come into the map so you can actually have some kind of interaction with him rather than him just standing on the edge.
Yeah. At the very beginning when they were talking about how they designed the Oryx fight, they're like, well, how do you kill a god?
Apparently it was
space bombs.
Yeah, it was using the light that he collected, and like that was like him. I think it was like him collected Guardian's light and whatnot of things he's killed, and then he was gonna add you to that, and then it detonates and it hurts him, yada yada, and he loses favor with the darkness and he gains it back, yada yada.
Interesting.
And it was inspired by Ghostbusters.
The fight was inspired by Ghostbusters, too. Yeah.
That's great.
The original Ghostbusters.
So there's going to be another one of these next week, right? And then we're not expecting any more until
E3? The Crucible one.
Yeah, the Crucible one is the one I've been looking forward to. I like that they're doing these live streams. I think it's pretty entertaining. It's fun to pick the knowledge out of these guys' brain that designed the game. And, I'm glad they built that studio. They built it now a few months ago, right? Before the release of the April update. And I was kind of concerned that they were just going to drop the ball on that after the April update. But to see them kind of doing it at this in-between time when they don't necessarily have anything they want to talk about, well, they don't have anything they want to release or hype up, it's nice to see them just kind of digging into these things that, we've all kind of wondered about, like the raid.
Yeah, Deej actually asked yesterday, like, what would anyone be interested in seeing? Because we've gone over this. What else would you guys want to see? What would you guys want to see?
Like, I could do both the old raids.
You'd like to see like a ride along of the old raids?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds cool. It's old content, but yeah, I'd still be interested.
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, one of the best episodes of the show is, we spent like an hour talking to Luke Smith about the Vault of Glass, and that was like,
and we had like all these questions like lined up about raid and taking. You're like, okay.
I mean, he was so much more able to talk about Vault of Glass than he was the Taken King, just because it was old content. And
yeah,
I mean, I've listened to that episode twice since we recorded it because it's just so full of cool info. So I mean, the fact that it's old content almost gives him more of a license to talk candidly about it.
The only thing I can think of is like a ride along of Trials of Osiris and just making that game mode and thinking about the loot and making like the lighthouse. Like, where did that idea come from?
That'd be really cool.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a lot to know about Trials, just because you do have the lighthouse, which is, of course, like a whole different space. And there was a bunch of new loot added and armors. And so I think that would be kind of cool. And just thinking about the game mode, like how they came up with that game mode, because it's similar to game modes that we've played in other games, but it's also very different.
Yeah.
It feels very unique. And the fact that it's like this like 9-win journey, to me, always felt completely unique.
Right. It's not just like you go into a game and you're playing that game. You're playing for that 9 wins.
I'd like to see it right along in Destiny 2. Boom.
I'd like to have a ride along around that wall with the wolves.
Ride along in Destiny 2 is like, it's not out yet. It's been requested from the community. We got to do it.
Got to do it. Can't let the community down.
Got to do it, man. Got to do it.
Does anyone know in the lore anywhere if it talks about the weapon that Lord Saladin uses? Because if it's like not an axe, then maybe he's like, there was an axe taken by someone and he's like going to take it back.
Take an axe. Confirmed.
Take an axe. He had a taken sword, now you have a taken axe.
It's the new relic. You know how there's always a relic of something?
Yeah, new relic is the flaming axe.
Right, flaming axe. That's what. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome if you use that in the raid?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it the Scorch Cannon from House of Wolves? Maybe it's something like that. Hey, what do you guys think about that patch with the increased or the better melee registration? You guys been seeing that? I found that it really worked. Whatever they did really kind of fixed the job on that.
I've been watching a bunch of streams and I'm not playing as much as I should, but yeah, I've been watching and overall it feels like it's been consistent. However, the connections, if there's a little bit of lag in between you, that shoulder charge range, it feels a little bit too unfair.
It's ridiculous.
Well, that's the problem, right? Is that it's because you understand that guy is in a different spot. It's like getting shot around the corner. That guy didn't shoot you around a corner. He shot you when he could still see you. But by the time that information gets to your screen, you feel like you're around the corner, right? That's the same kind of thing that you're seeing with the melee hit registration. When it feels like that guy hit you from a quarter mile away, he didn't. He hit you from the appropriate distance. It's just that, you know,
on my screen
has to get relayed both directions.
On my screen, like, I had jumped, and I'm at the top of my jump. I'm well away from him. But on his screen, I had just jumped, so I wasn't away. And I guess the flip of the coin wins for him. So,
well, that's the same. Like I was saying, it's the same thing. You thought you were around that corner. You thought you were 3 feet around that corner, and then you just flop over dead, and you see that it was the sniper that was a quarter mile away that got you. On his screen, he hit you fair and square. On the sniper rifle guy's screen, he hit you while you were still there. It's just that information's got to get relayed to the host and then back to you, and then by that time, you're already around the corner in that quarter second, you know?
If you ever see, like, teams of people rounding the corner and just running at you, and you're thinking, why are they not shooting at me? There's a chance you're ahead of their time, and they are, like, the game is calculating them being right there during your instance of seeing the packets receiving.
Yeah.
So, netcode.
Speaking of lag and netcode. In the article, didn't they also mention that they're going to be making changes?
Yeah.
To make matchmaking time take less and reduce lag.
Effective immediately, we are making some targeted adjustments to ensure that all players are able to find high-quality match within a reasonable amount of time. The intended result is to shorten matchmaking times and reduce lag. This conversation is never over. Please stay tuned. Yada, yada.
That happened, I guess, when this article went out. Because it said effective immediately.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to play.
I haven't played since they said that, but I'm excited for, like, especially tomorrow, we should be playing a good amount of normal Crucible and see what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've noticed that when I play during the daytime, like here, from the hours of, like, 2 to 10 p.m., the game's fine. But if we start going into the, you know, really late hours / early morning hours for me, then it gets bad. It gets really bad for connection. So I'm guessing that's mostly just a population issue then.
Yeah.
Probably.
That would make sense. You know, a lot of people are going to bed at that time.
Long story short, Derek did not really word something really that well. it's kind of a foot and mouth thing. Later the next day, Fitzy and T-Rex were talking like on Twitter with Derek Carroll, and we got some really, really good information about how matchmaking kind of works, which is something that I think we as a community really want to know and understand a little bit more. Because, you know, not that it actually helps us on our end, but it's just one of those things that it's nice to know about. And
yeah, completely agree.
Basically it's like local test or trying to matchmake based on local connections is the first thing that it does. It casts like a local net for matches, and then if it proves that it's a match, then they're kind of in the lobby. And then if we can't find anyone else, then it just basically increases the size of the net, and then it also makes it so it's looking for maybe slightly more skilled or slightly less skilled players. So it keeps growing and growing and growing. I don't know, maybe they should, at least that's the way that I understood it.
That's how I understood it too, yeah.
So
that's how I understood too.
Yeah. Yeah, so we have a kind of an answer on how the skill-based matchmaking actually, or the matchmaking in Destiny actually matches us in for games.
Which is pretty much how we expected it to work, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
That's how we expect it.
I'd be down with a matchmaking ride-along to, like, an hour long of just telling us how it works, and they can, like, talk to people on Twitch about it. Might be kind of nice to open up about
it. Yeah. The thing is, the Crucible feels different from September and October of year two than it does right now. Obviously, there's been changes with the actual weapons and all that, but you know, I feel like we're getting different matches. I really do.
It doesn't feel that different to me.
I genuinely think it's population.
You think it's population?
Yeah.
I mean, it might be. Population, purely. I just have a tough time believing it's purely population.
Maybe the matchmaking system, like we were talking about, where it just casts a wider and wider net for until it finds someone. Maybe that's what's happening, and there's
it's worse in Trials, right? Because it's like they're looking for people specifically around this number of wins on the card, so it's going further and further and further out, and it's finding people in Spain. So.
Right. There, I mean,
or they just think I live
with
in Spain,
a reduced player population, which we must have at this point. You're reducing it and reducing it and reducing it in that type of matchmaking to the point where, yeah, you're going to have matches that are with people that are very far away.
So enough talking about skill-based matchmaking, because we do that every single time. Should we switch over to some Twitter questions?
I love it. Why don't you tell me about something you like first?
Let's talk about blue mics then. No doubt you've noticed these wild mics and headphones that we are using. They're just some of the iconic gear that Blue creates. Blue's award-winning products are the driving force behind professional musicians, internet creators, and countless elite gaming teams and Twitch streamers. Their Yeti USB mic is the internet's most popular microphone, and their MoFi and Lola headphones deliver insane sound and a very personalized fit. Blue offers everything you need to completely immerse yourself in the ultimate gameplay experience. Learn more about Blue at bluemic.com. Hey, I got
it!
This
nailed
it! I did it this week!
Nailed it, man.
I will tell you about these headphones. I make fun of how strong that spring is, but I do like these headphones. The more I've had them, the more I've come to appreciate them. Just plugging them into like an iPhone or something, and you can turn on that amp. It does sound better.
My whole playthrough of Doom that I did on stream, I made sure I was wearing these headphones, because like you just get the whole ambiance and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did a giveaway yesterday during the Marathon WoW stream, and it was pretty fun.
FedEx guy didn't knock on the door today. He was supposed to drop it off today. He didn't knock on the door, so I couldn't sign for it.
You know what happened with mine? FedEx came to the door at like 8 a.m., which is the earliest they can deliver. Super early. I got up at 8:30.
I'm totally not awake
like,
at 8 a.m.
It's already here. Why is it already? So, and then they left a little thing like, we tried to deliver. I'm like, okay, fine. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up 8 a.m., make sure I'm awake the entire time. I'm at home. I'm ready. And then they delivered it to the office of the apartment.
Oh, now you have to walk down to the office. Oh, God, these first world YouTube problems.
Oh, I hear
it's
you.
It's dangerous.
I sympathize.
I sympathize, absolutely. If I wake up specifically, it throws my schedule off.
Yeah,
right. I was more concerned about waking up early and being like, okay, let's stick around for this package. I'm like, I'm really tired.
Mighty Snipes 84, will there be any throwback raid runs, Vog or Crota, on the planet Destiny in the future?
Sure.
Hell yeah.
That shit happens on stream all the time, man. I know, Tefty, I've seen you run them. I don't know how recently you've run them. I do want to ask you about the story about the guy blocking the raid team with the bubble on the Oryx skill.
Renders.
Oh my God. Renders. I heard about that. I'm still hearing people complain about that.
Renders is in chat right now.
Is he? Yeah. Well, call him out, man, because I've been hearing
Renders
about this shit
with
for
3 Z's. All right. This was last Xur. Okay. Xur was coming in 10 minutes. We had Oryx down. He got, you know, it's the fifth time you shoot him in the chest. He's at the very back of the map. And Renders pops the bubble right on us. And we're like, whoa, bad bubble, man. Bad bubble. What's going on? We wipe. And that was probably like the eighth run. So we were having some problems. Yeah. Like some detonations weren't going off or some detonations weren't registering. Just things that really start making you salty over Oryx.
Yeah.
And I'm a calm streamer. And I'm like,
yeah, totally. Yeah.
I'm like, Renders, what happened, man? Why'd you pop that bubble? He's like, thought it would be funny.
I love this guy.
I was trying to troll the team and it worked.
I was shocked. I was just like,
you were expecting.
I'm like, do I yell at Renders?
I didn't know. I thought it was a good bubble. My fingers.
I was like, yeah, exactly. I got nervous or something, you know. But Renders, who's a sub of mine, he subs to my channel. I was like, am I about to yell at a sub right now and have like a full on conniption? Am I going to kick him? But I didn't. I held, I was calm. Then we tried again because I was like, guys, we only have 10 minutes to do this. Failed. Tried one more time and failed again. And then I was like, well, bye, guys. My plan, though, my ultimate plan, which was going to be absolutely sweet, was I was going to kick him at the very end if we had got it.
Oh, if you had got it.
So he didn't get rewards.
Oh, man. That would have been funny.
Wow.
That would have been vengeance.
Hit, I think, pretty quick.
That would have been. I know, right? I was like, I might lose a sub for this, but you know what?
It'll be worth it.
You might gain four more, though.
I thought it'd be funny, man.
Remember. Renders will remember.
The other four people in that raid team, I think, would have appreciated that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Nice.
I thought it would be funny.
We did do that Vault of Glass run on the channel a couple months ago. That was pretty fun. Going back to
was a lot of fun. Yeah, I would like to start running OG raids this summer.
Yeah, also, there's a lot of viewers too.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have never done OG raids or sometimes even King's Fall, but the OG raids a lot because there's been a lot of community that's, you know, come in since the Taken King and
And as a streamer, it's super relaxing because, you know, you don't have to really worry about dying because you're so overleveled. And you can bring back Fatebringer.
Yeah. Fatebringer.
Mr. Ares, if you could change one thing about Destiny as a whole, what would it be?
Oh, man.
I've only ever always said I want a ranked playlist. That's all I can ever think about.
So Watts has ranked playlist. Tefty says he wants Forge mode.
I was gonna say 60 FPS.
Oh, okay. So he's changed from Forge.
If I'm just gonna pick one thing, I'd probably first do 60 FPS.
Okay. Then I'll say Forge mode for Tefty there, so we can just cover that base as well.
Because you know you want 60 FPS also.
Obviously. Oh yeah, I do. Yeah.
I'm going to say that I wish that they would implement my other three co-hosts. Thanks. That is my one change.
That's the equivalent to wishing for more wishes.
Somebody needs to say dedicated servers. Come on.
Dedicated servers.
There we go.
Now there we go.
Ash Matheson, what's the most fun you've had in a patrol?
You know, in the Cosmodrome, when you spawn in, you go to the left to the moth yards, there's like the tail of a downed plane in the water.
Oh yeah,
me and my friends, we spent about 3 hours trying to jump to it, which it's really easy to jump to it, but we started doing like trick jumps with our Sparrow to it from the top of one of the other from one of the other planes. And the only way to do it was to like run a Sparrow into another Sparrow to get enough lift to try to jump off onto that. And then we would like get right over it and then jump off the sparrow, try to do flips while we're doing it. It was really stupid fun. Then, of course, the entire time we were ramming each other with our sparrows to like make each other die. It's great.
Nice.
I liked in House of Wolves when you had to kill the boss and the chest would open. And you had basically like six people hanging around opening that chest. Yeah. Then everybody would jump on their sparrows, run for like the nearest like loading zone, do a U-turn, and then run back and try to get the chest again. That was fun. I really enjoyed that. I was actually really pissed that they patched that.
That was actually, it was funny to see a bunch of people just gunning on the sparrows and just running or using, and everyone had multi-tool to run faster.
Yep.
Be fat, yep. I think for me, it's probably on the Dreadnought when Taken King kind of first came out. And there's that one chest where you have to crouch down and then you get the ability to unlock the other chest.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to run from that tunnel and you run really fast. You have to jump across a jumping puzzle and to open the chest. So to just see a bunch of people huddled in this tiny little tunnel and everyone's crouching down. And then there was a few people that were intentionally trying to mess people up.
Troll people.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one. That was fun. The worm scent or something like that.
The
stinky chest.
We
did that this weekend with Fallout, and then the guy that sent us some of the mics, we helped him out. So nice. It was pretty fun. It's pretty fun.
Mine, you know, so you guys mentioned those, and those are great memories. I have very fond memories of all that stuff. But if I'm going to go all the way back, it would definitely be sitting in front of the loot cave with like six random five other random people shooting at enemies coming out of the cave. And we all just had the same thing. And every now and then, there'd be somebody who wanted to be a prick and that would go and sit in the cave.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know?
You get a world of solar wind to...
Yeah, I mean, it would annoy me, but at the same time, I still have fond memories of, like, sitting in front of that cave, seeing the day cycle change to night and then back to morning. And I'd be like, wow, I've been here all day and night.
Or the people that didn't move, and you were just like, that didn't move, and you see the sky darken, and there was only, like, one special event that spawned there. So it was a 50-50 shot of that Warsat falling directly on that dude's face.
Yes. Or the first time you saw like the hive in the, was it the Fallen? Just like,
oh, that, that
like
was the real loot
battle
cave.
Right there.
That was the real loot cave.
Enemy moving against each other.
Yeah. Oh my god! Awesome. The first time I saw that was intense.
Yeah.
The first time
that dude is difficult to kill.
Yeah, and you were not leveled.
Oh, yeah, that night wasn't there originally. It was just the it was just spawning things. So you get a That was the real loot cave with a Blade Dancer with Encore. He could just eternally kill things as they spawned. And so you're just sitting there farming engrams, like just at ultra speed levels. It's great. It's great.
What was great is that there was a very small percentage of chance to see that legendary drop.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew that it was going to turn into a blue.
Oh, that wasn't great. See, nothing about what you're describing I actually have fond memories of, Tefty. I didn't like
none
the
of
loot
it?
Cave. I didn't like staying in there. I found it to be incredibly boring. I did find it interesting how the community kind of formed this little society around farming the loot cave. But I didn't actually like doing it myself. And then I really didn't like bringing those legendaries over to the fucking Cryptarch and have them give me a bunch of blue shit.
See, for me, I leveled up a character via the loot cave. So
a whole character?
It was more of a whole character, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, because you could, like, park a character there and just, you know, as long as you were near people, you'd get experience points.
Yeah, you didn't even have
to
shoot.
You could level up.
You could just
stand
there.
Yeah, you didn't have to shoot. And, yeah, it's not the way to play the game at all. You know, not even a little bit is the way you should play the game. But it was such a communal experience in a video game that I was like, wow, we're all, like, you show up, you go to that area, it's the Divide. Was it the Divide? No, it's not the Divide. It's, I can't remember the name. Anyways, you show up that area, and you see five dots on your map, or you see the names, and you're like, look what we're doing.
Luke Cage.
This is great. The gang is here. Let's go do this. Awesome.
There was another one I remember on the Strike. There was, like, a hill going down to the Strike with the Vex guy, the Vex Mind on Venus, where if you went down this certain cliff, there was like a whole shitload of Vex guys that would just spawn right there. And people would use a super or a rocket launcher to kill them all. Then they'd jump off the cliff, respawn, and respawn right there. And I remember spawning into a Strike and being like, what are these guys doing? I want to go kill the boss. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't do it, so I had to solo the boss. And then I got messages from them like, why'd you fuck up our loot cave?
Yeah.
Why didn't they have fond a third memories. Person?
Fond memories.
Fond memories, guys. Fond memories.
The Black Arab, how do you feel about Bungie removing Quiver but not removing Clown Cartridge? I call laziness. That's kind of dick move, I think, because they just found out about this.
Well, not only it's different to remove Quiver, which is one thing from one subclass, than to remove Clown Cartridge, which is on multiple weapons. And as we all know, or maybe people don't know, when you change one thing in the code, it has potential for messing up things that are even bigger, that could be completely game-breaking. Mm-hmm. So it's a little more complicated than just taking away Clown Cartridge.
We don't
also,
know how the game
it's been like a couple of
code.
Days since we found out about this glitch. Yeah. Like, how fast do you want them to fix it?
Immediately.
Yesterday.
No, it's just, like, when I say, oh, they're being lazy, you don't know how the game is coded. You probably don't work at Bungie.
And honestly, like, I don't
understand. No, this guy probably
that
works at Bungie.
Mindset.
Just listen to this. Listen to this. I mean, he says, I call laziness.
I don't understand that mindset.
It's like shotgun.
In general. I don't get it. I don't understand the mindset of game companies want to screw over their players. It's like, you can't call them money hungry and lazy and say they're trying to screw over people, because if they're money hungry, they're going to be dedicated to making the best thing ever, so you keep spending your money.
Right.
It doesn't make sense for a game company where their business is to make this game good and want you to keep playing it and keep paying for stuff to be lazy. It doesn't make any sense.
Logic's not part of the argument.
That's true.
Right.
Sorry.
So.
I apologize.
Well, okay. I will say from a coding perspective, what it tells me is that the way they've structured their modules, the way the code connects to each other and talks in and out, is that a lot of it's interconnected in a way that they can't just flip switches on and off, which on one end is like, why do you do that? That's bad coding practice. Everybody knows you don't hard code things into modules, so you can't break them apart easily because you break the code, essentially. And the other argument is that last gen has to do all that really hard baking of code in there because the optimization has to be ridiculous. I mean, they're working with 512 megs of RAM, which means that the footprint that they have to hold in the memory is so small that they have to make really bad coding shortcuts and practices in order to cram all these things in there. So that, in my mind, goes, okay, that's why they can't just flip Clown Cartridge off. You know, think of Clown Cartridge as this is the Clown Cartridge module, and it connects into the weapon system. The weapon system calls all these modules. Well, in order for that to fit in the 512 meg RAM in last gen, they have to hook all those into each other, so it's an amalgamation that can't just be switched off. And I think that's why.
Blame last gen for not giving us 60 FPS, not allowing us to quickly update stuff.
Oh, boy.
It's all last gen's fault. Oh, boy. It is actually,
it's a clear way to go here.
It is actually
a lot
easier.
I think we should
call
it last gen. Blame last gen.
It's a lot easier for them to fix stuff and patch stuff now on the current gen, whereas in last gen, it was actually very difficult to get
very expensive, too.
Very difficult and very expensive.
For those listening, this is mostly sarcasm. You. Mostly sarcasm. This is mostly sarcasm.
Last gen is the fault.
Sea Guardian. If you could have a character with full exotic gear, what would it be? It was a Titan.
Wait, what was it? Sorry.
If you could have a character with full exotic gear, what would it be? Be a Lord of Iron.
I probably would be a Titan. First off, Twilight Garrison.
Twilight Garrison and Peregrine Greaves. Yes, please.
The Night Stalker helmet to where I can shade step and I can see people with Keen Scout. That sounds kind of good. You know what? Warlocks might be super, super good because you could have the double smacky hands. You could wear the ram. They don't have boots, but like all of the like the ram double smacky hands, and then having like proxic fire, you could have void fang. They have a lot of like really impactful stats on their exotic armor.
How come we don't have exotic ghosts yet, guys? We can't have full exotic loadouts if we don't have exotic. Jesus.
Maybe one made out of iron.
Goat
215. Instead of reforging, what about re-rolling one perk on a gun?
What, like one specific perk?
Yeah.
I do kind of like that we are hunting for our perfect rolls these days, rather than just re-rolling stuff. Because when you get it, it's like, it's an amazing feeling when you finally get what you've been searching for.
Yeah. That brings up something that I've been meaning to talk about. Do you think the drop rates on Longbow and LDR are way too stingy? Because I see a lot of people saying they've gone through
it's random.
50 packages.
It's entirely random.
I get that it's random, but there's a drop rate associated with it, you know?
Well, and then some people have been getting, some people already gotten like 8 or 9, according to people in my chat and Twitter. Like, they've gotten a ton of them, so.
I think those numbers in chat and Twitter are often inflated.
Often, but.
Yeah, and then they say they dismantled them too, the God roll. Be like,
oh, of course.
Did you really dismantle it?
Yeah.
Video or didn't happen.
Would the doctrine of passing even be a problem if everybody didn't have it with counterbalance? Like, that's the problem, is everybody's got the God roll on that weapon, so, you know, everybody's dead accurate with it from, you know, a quarter mile away.
It's not necessarily the counterbalance part on it. It's more like the combination of counterbalance plus persistence.
Right. That's what I'm saying, though. It's like everybody's got a God roll on that weapon. Everybody. Mm-hmm. If you see it getting used in the Crucible, you look at it, it's got a God roll, because, you know, there's only so many rolls available for that weapon to begin with.
Yeah, 4, right?
But, like, if everybody using every weapon has a God roll, like, what's really special about it then? You know? Like, I don't know. Like, not everybody has to have a God roll Grim Citizen. I'm sorry. Not everybody's got to have a God roll Longbow. I'm sorry.
I kind of think of it as your mounts that you search for on World of Warcraft. Pat, you know? I'm like... It's not that you have to have them. It's just that it's the hunt.
Like, it's more about the hunt. Like, most of my friends, when they were playing WoW, they would do mount runs every week. And I'm like, do you really want the mount? I was like, no, I just kind of want to get it so I can have it. And
want to see a drop.
Yeah, just want to see a drop. Want to, you know, check that thing off the list.
I also think it creates problems in the Crucible. When everybody's rolling with that God mode, you know, doctrine... then it makes everybody think, oh, this weapon type needs to be nerfed. When it's not the weapon type, it's just that this God roll is so freaking strong and everybody's running it. You know, same with Fellwinters. If everybody didn't re-roll their Fellwinters last summer to have, you know, the exact perks that gave it the max range, would Fellwinters have been such a problem? Yeah, it would have. But, you know, another example might have been better there.
Well played. Nicely done.
Joseph, what are your guys' thoughts on adding missing foundry weapons? Omalon pulse rifles, Soros hand cannons, etc.
Do it. For the love of God, do it. Just so my...
I'm down.
So my Arms Day videos can have some sort of change from this monotony every week. Oh,
I'd actually love it if they added a new foundry, too, with the expansion. It's like cool. a whole new one.
Like
the Iron Lords.
Just give us more stuff.
I was shocked they didn't make that change during the April update. I was shocked. It seemed like it's such a no-brainer. Some of my favorite weapons have come out of the Weaponsmith, too. Like, I got a DIS that I absolutely love. I got a PDX that I absolutely love. Some of my favorite weapons have come out of there. I still use my Omalon sniper that has luck in the chamber. Like, I love
that's
that.
A good sniper. No, that's a great
PvE weapon.
That
was like the first
weapon.
Week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really early on. Like, there's some of my favorites came out of there. And I think it's a cool system.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to get it to change up the weapons.
Yeah. No, there's definitely room for them to add to it. I was really disappointed that I didn't see that in the April update. I was looking forward to an Omalon machine gun because... You know, I definitely like seeing every time that the Soros rocket launcher comes up that, like, 90% of the time, the other Soros rocket launcher is also being sold by him that week.
Yeah,
so
that's,
like,
weird, isn't it?
It's really consistent when that happens.
Gabriel Lopez, how long do you expect Bungie to continue spoiling us with free Sterling treasure? Ending this fall or Destiny 2?
Depends on how long they want to keep Sterling treasure in the game. Because maybe they'll...
I think it's here to stay.
I think that the Sterling treasure type thing is going to be here to stay. They'll update the drop possibilities of Sterling treasure in the future.
Yeah. Like, what's in the box?
Yeah. What's in the box? What's in the box?
What's in the box?
And
what's in it?
Yeah. Maybe it'll be like, Season 1 Sterling Treasure and Season 2 Sterling Treasure, so you can't hoard up a bunch of Sterling Treasure and then...
Do you think they'll continue to give them away for free?
Yeah.
I think they will.
Yeah. I think the community in general, is it kind of it's softens the blow of more microtransactions if you're like, oh, well, I can get one with... I don't even play the game. I can go and pick mm-hmm. up one. So I think they'll keep it. I think, especially now that it's already in the game, I think it would look super bad if they're like, yeah, so we're keeping them, but you're not going to be able to get it for free anymore.
Yeah.
So I do like
opening up free ones. Like, it's fun to, like, open them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I just don't want to spend the money on it. I'm just cheap. Although, that crane kick, I went right after that one.
Oh, yeah, I bought the crane
kick. Yeah, the emotes. There's emotes you had to buy, for sure. Praise the Light. Oh, my God. Yep. Absolutely. I
that one, too.
I feel like I'm going to get the Desolate set free by the time late July or August rolls around. And if I haven't by then maybe I'll buy some Sterling Treasure.
Yeah, I don't care that much about the Desolate set. I want the Desolate emote.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
that's kind of the thing I want out of that.
That's why, yeah.
I actually got the ship from my free Sterling package this week. The
Taken Sauce?
Yeah, it's like, no, it's not the Taken ship. It's
the white one,
the equivalent of the ship that you get from the Black Spindle event.
It's all white with the white streamers on it. It's pretty cool.
You'll see it tomorrow during the stream.
Adam, what's everybody's favorite primary weapon?
Man, it's been you know what, in the Crucible that I've been.
One.
Yeah, you have a new one? I was going to say something new that I've been using. That Vanity from Future War Cult. I'm just using the basic Vanity from the vendor.
It's a good role.
It's fun. I also have one on the Xbox that has Icarus. That's really nice. I think it might be my new favorite hand cannon. I really enjoy it.
Mine's Lord Highfixer. I brought out Queenbreaker's bow and I was like, okay, I'm going to use Lord Highfixer with it. And Lord Highfixer, the one I have, is just, it's so reliable. It's one of the very few hand cannons I've used recently that actually, it shoots, it hits things and they die.
That's a nice feature.
Nice.
It's good. It's a good thing for a gun to have, yeah.
Patrick?
The Suros PDX-45 that was sold, I think, 2 weeks ago with full auto,
baller,
perfect balance, and rifled barrel.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say Drek's Promise. Oh, yeah. No, that was great. That was a good...
Or Telesto. You've been tearing...
Telesto was fun. Telesto was fun, but... that Suros PDX was just... I don't know. It's a really consistent primary, and...
Yeah. It's got good range. It's got good stability. It's easy to fire with full auto.
It has two really good scopes on it. If you have a bad rolled weapon, and it's a night and day difference. And mm-hmm. as much, I think that's why we're so focused on getting various god rolls of certain things. Is that
with hand cannons? I feel like especially.
Hand cannons is
like you can. I remember using an AS Luna that had not good perks. Compared to my one that's got really good perks, I picked it up and I'm like, I would never use it. It was awful.
Yep.
Yeah. But the good one is like one of my favorite weapons.
Yeah. So I think that's something that Bungie should kind of look at going forward is just the overall. I know that's such a nebulous
hand cannons,
task.
Though, like they got to get rid of that cone, man. It just sucks. Mm-hmm. Like having RNG affect your aim like that.
Yeah. Well, if you want to use a hand cannon that's actually consistent when you pull the trigger and it hits something that you're aiming at, and you can fire it at the fastest rate of fire possible, you use a sidearm. Not Drek's Promise, though.
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not the same.
For PvE, I had so much fun this past weekend with Universal Remote in PvE.
Mm, yeah, that is a fun.
I don't know. Like I did. It's one of the few weapons that's actually surprised me. Just the combination of crowd control plus its really long range, extra precision damage. It was a super fun gun, yeah. And
it changes the way you play. You know, like it forces you to instead of running that strike exactly the same way you've run mm-hmm. it 100 times in the past. Mm-hmm. When you change out your loadout with something so dramatic as that, it changes the way you have to play it. So your mind has to actually start thinking about things
and the other thing about it is like with a lot of different weapons, like the way you normally play, you kind of have ammo problems Like if I'm doing a review on a secondary or something, it's like, oh well, I'm having ammo problems, but I don't. Let me see if this is due to the weapon stats and weapon drop rates, or just due to, the way I'm playing. A lot of times, it's kind of the weapon itself. But like with Universal Remote, you're forcing yourself to be close. So you're always picking up ammo. So yeah. It's like I didn't have ammo problems using this gun. It was great. I could just basically roll in and shotgun things. So yeah, it was
fun way to run nice. A Nightfall is double shotguns and swords. The whole fire nice. Team can only fight close up. It's really fun.
That's yeah. cool. That's a fun challenge.
Gunner Optic, a Destiny movie. What story would you want to follow? Saint 14, Osiris?
Not a movie, because the story is already so massive.
You want a TV huge. Series.
I need
yeah,
a TV series.
You need a TV series.
We need a TV
series. A movie, you need HBO like to pick five it up. Movies.
You want HBO to pick it up? Yeah.
HBO's got to sign, so they can make some pretty raw stuff. It'd be great.
Second best would be AMC. I would think AMC's
no.
got
oh,
a
50 yeah, you're right.
shot of
making no, then they're going right. to have like 50 commercial breaks in a 30-minute episode. And then,
I don't Netflix. Have cable, man. I just download
Netflix. You want Netflix to do it.
Yeah, you want Netflix yeah. to do it. You're right.
Netflix, dude, totally Netflix is the one. That they'll have but the budget and they'll release it all at once.
Yeah well, maybe I'd pick AMC if like they, if they just air it on their network. If they have their hands in the development process of it, hell no. No.
You don't like
it's
AMC
be,
shows?
If they're
watching,
the ones that are,
The Nightmanager, that's an AMC, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know who's actually the ones that are making any of this, but like just Walking Dead is the biggest thing for me. Just they can't commit to anything in that for the most part, and they have to rely on 58 minutes of
and Better Call Saul.
I don't know if is Breaking Bad an original series from them or was that another company?
Oh, I don't know.
Again,
I don't know.
But it's like just Walking Dead has like 58 IMDb minutes guys. Of just like blah, and in the last 2 minutes of an episode, there's like a massive cliffhanger. Something happens. You go, oh, you gotta tune in next week and see what happens on Walking Dead. No, fuck you, AMC. I'm done. And I stopped.
You watch Game of Thrones,
sucks, man? That show sucked for a long time. It's mm-hmm. really not even worth your breath anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch Game of Thrones? Because that's
Game of
the
Thrones
exact formula.
Awesome.
Game of Thrones yeah. has not the same formula at all. At all.
Oh, are you
stuff
kidding me? After every episode.
The show, though.
Plenty yeah, of stuff happens. It's a build-up. Instead, like you can cut out just about 80% of a Walking Dead episode and leave the last like 20%-ish of the thing, and it's boom. And then there
okay,
you go.
I got you.
That's all the relevant
Walking
story.
Dead, so I can't compare.
That show is terrible. I would even take a book. Like they could do like some of the old-school lore stuff in a book. That'd be great. I'd read a book. Steve Lindsay, what's your favorite legendary hand cannon, and what roles does it have?
Lord Highfixer. Yeah, it's my favorite right now. Mine has rangefinder, sure shot, rifle barrel, I believe, and then army of one. So it's got
that's
it's
a nice
got the
role.
Range is just like
that's all you want on hand cannons. I feel like right now it's rangefinder yeah. and rifle barrel. I don't have a favorite legendary because I haven't gotten one with good enough roles. I'll use my AS Luna, which has rifle barrel but not rangefinder on it. And I'll use it, but I feel frustrated eventually.
My favorite hand cannon is it's a Ufern with Luck in the Chamber and Outlaw and Rifled Barrel, and it has True Sight on it. It's really consistent, but just that having seven rounds in the hand cannon is pretty rough. Even though I know it's closer to real life, and yeah, whatever gameplay decisions can't be.
Yeah, but in real life,
yeah,
people don't jump 30 feet in the air.
Yeah, people don't jump
armor.
30 feet in the air, and the gun shoots.
And they don't
self res
from the dead or
yeah.
Chuck Nova bombs.
Yeah.
Richard asked, apart from the obvious custom games, etc., what would you like to see Destiny evolve in the fall, quality of life wise?
Wolves as pets. That would be my quality of life improvement for Destiny. Or the option to, like, build a house in all that like, area that you look out the tower. And
oh,
you see, like...
That's not a quality of life, let me tell you.
How about a
harbor? I'm going to build a house. Beards. I want to invite people over to pet my wolf and drink tea, guardian tea, and we can, yeah, gardening.
Is it light tea? Is it light tea?
It's probably green tea. Light tea would make more sense because guardian...
Now that you think about it, they need a coffee shop in the tower. We need some like iced Americanos.
Gives you like a small buff of like space you can move faster in the tower.
As far as quality of life things go, being able to like delete stuff from the postmaster, that would be great.
Yep, you're right.
Maybe be able to just like send an engram that you pick up to a special tab that you can decrypt later.
We need a trash marker.
The Division did really good is like I can mark this as junk and then delete all junk. There you go. Yeah. Done. Yeah.
That is nice.
Yeah. That's a really
nice
thing.
The UI in the Division is one of the best parts about that game.
There's so many good things in there.
I wish you could organize your postmaster or your I wish you could organize your vault somehow and like kind of click and drag items. Yeah, it's really bad. Like I can't even touch it without going to an app of some sort.
It's just confusing, right?
And it's like there's pages, and then like you accidentally hit the wrong button, and you got to go back in. I don't like it.
Also, there's really no reason not to have the vault in your menu at this point. I mean, you can go into a website, transfer stuff back and forth from your vault.
Yeah, I think though the reason that is because of the old system.
Freaking old gen.
Blame last gen.
Last gen. Hashtag last gen.
Ugh.
Days, what do you guys think if there were faction exotics that dropped from faction packages?
That would be cool.
Yeah, I like exotics.
And anything like going more into factions, I would be totally down with. Because they have these factions, and it's like, yeah, you know, you can represent one, and you can only change once a week, and you can get their stuff. But there's nothing more to it. And I feel like maybe if there was a quest or something, like an exotic quest for that faction, you have just like we did with the like exotic class items for them. Like maybe we could get a certain rank with that faction, then we could unlock the quest chain for the exotic. Just bringing factions more into the game would make me happy in general.
Once you hit like level 50 with a faction, you got access to like more items in there from their store, something like that.
That'd be cool. That would be cool too. Yeah, just more reason for me to want to get behind a faction as well. Like knowing more about them. Like, what do you do, Future War Call? What is it that you do? And what do you do that's different to Dead Orbit? Why should I represent you? Because that's what we're doing. My
gear is prettier.
Yeah.
I'm voiced by Peter Stormer.
Faction Wars, yeah. Faction Wars would obviously be amazing, but just delving more into factions in general, I think, would be great. Because I'm rocking like their stuff on me, their shaders and stuff. It's like, why am I doing that? I want to know why.
Tom Walsh, if the tower were like Survivor, which NPC should be voted off? I don't know, only one of these motherfuckers gave us raisins.
Yeah, Eris, just get rid of her. She's creepy. She's scary.
What the hell, guys?
She's out.
She's creepy and weird.
Drippy eyes. No thanks.
No. Eris is the one where everybody's like, look, she's creepy, but
it'd be Eververse.
It'd be fucking Eververse.
She's evil, actually.
Yeah, the biggest part of Survivor is like the whole, we got to eliminate the strongest people first. So then, like, you know, then us people that are better at scheming can listen. And, like, they get, if there's, like, an obvious weakling, sure. But Eris has some, like, really big voodoo shit going on. So you don't want to fuck with her too early on in the game or else everyone's going to get wiped out. You got to think about
this. You want to get rid of her right away.
Just get rid of her.
She's evil. She has the potential to destroy us all. Get rid of her.
Yeah.
Beat it. Or the speaker, because I have a feeling he's bad too. So
you befriend Eris, and then you can like help have her voodoo shit. You be used to your benefit, and then by the time it's time to kick her out, then it'll be way easier because everyone's been affected by her already. So then it bounds against her, and then everyone looks up to you because you got rid of Eris. You orchestrated the whole thing. This is basic manipulation, folks. This is basic manipulation
because Eris is manipulating you.
Yep.
Not if I thought about it first.
She's got her drippy eyes.
Not if I thought about it.
She's got her drippy eyes directly into your brain. You ate the raisins. It's over.
You ate the raisins.
You've been infected. Yeah, she's got to go.
Yep. I'm gonna form an alliance with Cade Six and Saladin.
Yeah. I love it.
Skull Heezy, which one are your three favorite shaders? Which ones are your three favorite shaders? I like that new Iron Man shader, even though everybody says I look like I work for McDonald's when I'm wearing it.
Is that Lion Dancer? Is that
one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Lion Dancer. It's bright. I like it.
Yeah. I like the Crucible one. Looks like I play for the Seattle Seahawks. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I like that one, too.
I like the one that is kind of like this bronzish color. It's like a dark bronze. I can't remember what, like, burnt umber.
Marshmallow? No.
No. It's new. It's new. I can't remember what it's called, though.
I like the purple one from SRL, mm-hmm. where it's like just the little bits are purple. I like that a lot. I also like most of the SRL ones were really good.
They were good. They were bright.
They were bright. Yeah, they were bright shaders, and I like that. Yeah, so I think probably the SRL ones, the also the orange and black one, I like a lot. And then, like you said, the Crucible shader. Got to become one with the Crucible all the time. Right. Makes you better play.
I don't know the names of mine.
I
like those black ones.
I use the Old Guard shader on my Hunter.
What colors is that? Is that the
it's the black and then dark gray one with tiger stripes.
Yeah.
I use that one a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it's the year one
shader. I just don't like the tiger stripes on that.
Yeah,
it's tacky, man.
Whatever. I can rock it. My hunter can rock it. He's usually a lone animal.
Oh yeah, definitely. Your hunter can get away with it.
Yeah, my hunter
leopard on the savannah. What is this?
Yeah. I think I use Amudat ink on my Titan, I think I use the same thing. Or it's one of the new trial shaders on my warlock as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the trial shaders are pretty cool too.
Yeah. They're really rare. Like, they are really rare from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I still like to rock the blacksmith shader because it's still rare, even though a lot more people have it than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
People still ask me what it is all the time. And the Nepal shader I like to rock because it's red, white, and blue.
Yeah, that's a rare one, too.
And I like to say America every time I use a Titan Smash.
America. That's great.
All right. Next, Griffin Smith. What would you think of a Greek/Roman-themed Trials gear set?
No.
Not for Trials.
I'm not going to be running around
toga.
In a toga.
Toga.
Not for Trials.
Yeah, not for Trials. It's Osiris, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very much so an Egyptian theme.
Yeah, I definitely want to see new Trials gear.
New Trials gear, yeah. But probably sticking with the whole Egyptian thing would be cool.
Looks like we're going to have the Trials gear for a year and a half here.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it switch up in the Rise of Iron. The Melbu, pancakes or waffles, and obviously, why pancakes?
Oh,
I'm choosing waffles out of spite to that question.
Waffles are the superior breakfast choice. I'm sorry. They are. The nooks and crannies, the crunchiness, it's better. It's just better.
Utility.
Waffles have built-in cups for the syrup that you pour in there, so it holds it instead of just kind of blowing down everywhere with pancakes.
They're also good for not just breakfast. Like, I feel a little better eating waffles.
You can pick one up, take
pancakes.
It with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, waffles you can't eat
syrup.
On the go.
Well, you can hold it like a disc, like a disc, and then the little pockets there keep all the syrup in there.
No.
As soon as you bite into it, it's dripping on your hand.
Fatally flawed, my friend.
As soon as you bite down, it's dripping on your hand. You're gonna have some major syrup all over my hands.
Calling waffles. Plus waffles go so much better with fried chicken. Fried chicken and waffles.
Damn,
delicious.
Fried chicken and waffles?
Yeah.
That sounds like a southern thing.
Somebody told me that Roscoe's was going bankrupt in L.A.
I don't care about L.A. I cook that shit over here myself. It's delicious. You don't need Roscoe's.
Don't you be talking trash about my Roscoe's. Don't you be talking trash.
I won't talk trash about it because I've never actually had it. But I'm just saying it's a southern thing, and they took it from us.
You know, I got a bone to pick with you guys, too, from last week. You guys were asked what's better, creamy or chunky peanut butter, and you fuckers stuck me with chunky peanut butter?
Yeah.
What kind of monster do you think I am?
No, man, I don't want that. Hell no.
Creamy, man. Creamy. Crunchy peanut butter.
Sorry. Yeah.
Monster. You didn't think I was listening. I was listening. Crunchy peanut butter. George Swift UK asks, what are your realistic expectations for the next DLC? What would exceed your expectations?
We're going to learn about Iron Steph.
Iron stuff. Lots of hard metals. Smeltable metal.
Lots of brown and silver shaders.
Yes. They're gonna make a smelting process. First time in Destiny. It's gonna you smelt your axe. There
we go. You wanted reforging? Fuck you. You get smelting.
Yeah. You have to forge there these weapons.
Might have a little bit of fine soldering as well.
Mostly with tin. I think the realistic expectations for whatever the expansion is hopefully a raid. I think everyone's kind of expecting that, not just due to it's been called an expansion, but because it's like a year after, you know, the other raid. So it's like we kind of need another raid right now. Yeah. You know, some new PvP maps, maybe a new game mode, and then you know, I would say 10 story missions. Say 10 story missions.
Yeah,
10.
A significant number of strikes too, because I get more replayability out of strikes than I do out of story missions. You know, story missions, we do the daily stories, but to be honest with you, even when they're the heroic dailies, they're not that difficult. I'd much rather have them focus on strikes, you know, reuse as much content as they want to get the story missions done, because frankly, I don't really care about them that much once I play through them the first time. Focus your energy on strikes, the raid, new PvP maps, and I'd like to see a new PvP game mode that is like the size and scope of Trials of Osiris or Iron Banner. More really Trials of Osiris. Mm-hmm. Like, it'd be fun to... Trials of Osiris is getting a little old to me, personally. I'd like to see them do something along those lines again. Like something
or even
new.
Just spice up Trials and make it
a
little more spicy.
A little more, maybe a new lighthouse to go to, or expanded lighthouse. I don't know. That's not enough, though, even that. I need something like a new elimination-type game mode, you know, like something along those lines that feels fresh and rewarding and fun.
I just want the games to be... like, feel great.
It said realistic. Tefty.
Realistic?
Wow. Wow.
I just want those Trials games to be crispy. Yeah, I don't want no Phantom Bullets. You know? I don't know.
B-Rob, what do you guys do outside of playing video games? Work and or fun?
Shit, we kind of play video games. I usually play video games.
I watch anime. There you go. I watch a lot of anime.
Noise.
That's a thing.
Noise. I'm in the process of setting up my music studio again since we moved. So
nice.
That's always fun. Making beats and all that, producing music, writing music with the wife, memes.
I do photography. I've been doing a lot of photography right now because it's kind of in season.
Yeah.
I've been doing I play a lot of like, you know, basically old man sports like softball and golf and things like that. I just got a new puppy, so I've been training a puppy and spending a lot of time walking and playing with the puppy. And I like to drink beer. That's fun.
Beer is fun, right?
Yeah. And then I play other video games besides Destiny occasionally.
Yeah.
All right, next, Muju at Muju the Beast. I've been out of the loop with Destiny lately. What should I do to get back into the grind? That's the beauty of Update 2.2. You can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want, literally. Literally do whatever you want.
Yeah. Except you don't level up by staying in the tower.
Don't just stand around in the tower kicking balls around.
Don't dance in the tower.
There is, like, I don't know. I do spend a lot more time in the tower, I feel like, now. Although my postmaster's goddamn full.
I mean, I just maxed out my vault and my postmaster's still full, and I'm like...
Yeah, my vault is full, too. That extra page got filled up in a record time.
I gotta go through and clean stuff out. It's tough. It's tough, guys.
I hate it. BT90001. What are your thoughts on a friendly fire modifier? I think that'd be super fun.
Would be interesting.
Oh, boy.
It'd be really fun. Maybe it's a rotatable game mode.
With great power comes great responsibility, and I myself cannot be trusted with said responsibility.
No, I can't either. I would definitely shoot
the
all my
grenades, fam. The grenades, fam, would be unbelievable. Those lightning grenades killing your teammates. Oh, my God.
Yeah. There's no way I can be trusted with that.
In Halo Reach, the grenades were ridiculous. They had a large and powerful blast radius. And whenever you went in with publics that or pubs that, and people who didn't understand that, you'd get grenaded all the time in the middle of battles that were your teammates' grenades. But it would give the enemy the score.
I think that was a pretty good podcast. There is stuff to talk about this
there
week.
There was wolves and snow and titan capes and walls that are broken.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to next week to talk about the PvP stream. I think that should be really fun.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This has been Patrick Casey with Planet Destiny. You can find me at Holtzman_PD on Twitter and on Twitch at Holtzman and just PlanetDestiny.com. You'll find me, I'm sure.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me on Twitter at TheBriarRabbit. You can find me streaming on Twitch either right here on the Planet Destiny page or on my own page. Just look for Briar Rabbit there. You can find me playing YouTube or making YouTube videos, look for the Briar Rabbit channel. Or in the grocery aisle next to the creamy peanut butter.
Fantastic. I'm Tefty Teft. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. You can check the streams I do for Planet Destiny and on my personal channel, twitch.tv/TeftyTeft. I'm also posting Let's Play highlights on my personal YouTube if you're interested in anything like that. And Instagram, beard selfies, all that stuff. Hit me up.
And I'm Miss 5000 Watts. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, if you wish, YouTube, and Twitch, all under the same name. And yeah, I think that's it.
All right, guys. Well, that was the 71st episode of the Planet Destiny podcast. We will see you next week.